Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, I'll be recapping that Clásico Nacional victory over Chivas, and we're going to recap as well the 3-0 thrashing that América had on the double jornada matchup this week against Atlas. And then to top off the show, we are going to preview the upcoming match against Necaxa away in Aguascalientes. So plenty and plenty to talk about. We'll probably touch upon the fact that América finalized the signing of Victor Dávila as well. So we got plenty of América news to get through in such a short time. And joining me to do so, as always, it is none other than the main man himself, Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how you doing, my friend?
Good, bro. Good. Before anything, I want to wish you happy birthday, brother, because last night I was almost late. I didn't see your page. No one said anything. Until I clicked on your page, and then I was like, wait, why is there balloons? So I had to message you real quick, tell you happy birthday, you know. But no, again, live, I'm going to tell you, you know, happy birthday. Hope you enjoyed your day. I know it's a weekday birthday, so usually it's just another day, but like I told you in the chat, if you whatever you do on the weekend, be safe, man, and enjoy your extra birthday.
No, well, thank you so much, man. It means a lot. And well, I was just trying to stay true to Brian's motto on the group chat. Whenever we talk to him, he says that, you know, it's just another day, and we shouldn't be announcing our birthdays. So I did my best. I hope that he's proud of me. Most importantly. So I'll ask him next week when he comes on the podcast if I did well by that. But no, thank you. Thank you to you, and thank you to everyone else who reached out throughout the day. Just another year around the sun, and very grateful and thankful. And it's a good lead up to my birthday too, since America had the Clásico on past weekend, and then we had Atlas the day before my birthday too. So it was good. It was cool. It was great. Had a wonderful time with the family, had a good dinner. Called it a day, because like you said, it's a midweek, and so yeah, it was nice, and hopefully we can continue the celebrations on to the weekend, because we do have a very important matchup against Necaxa, and in a venue in where we've technically struggled in the past couple of years. So we'll see how that goes for us and everybody, but yeah, hopefully things go according to plan in that sense. But I spoke about the Clásico Nacional. Feel like that's a perfect way to segue into that. Chris, I was going to come onto the podcast, and I was going to go, and I was going to just absolutely tear this team apart, because it's probably one of the worst Clásicos I've ever seen in the past couple of years. But I'm not going to do so, because I'm trying to be a little bit more of an optimistic here. But most importantly, I think at the end of the day, you and Dylan kind of summed it up perfectly in the group chat, and it was, this game was a must-win game. We needed 3 points, and it didn't matter how we got the 3 points. It was get the 3 points. And on top of that, it was being a Clásico. For you, how did you walk away from that game, seeing it how we did? Because we didn't play well, you know, and a lot of people saying that America was lucky to walk away with 3 points, and rightfully so. Yeah, we were. But at the end of the day, America gets them. How did you feel walking away from that matchup after the final whistle?
I felt the same way as I felt when we previewed it. I looked at the depth chart, man, and I said, how do you play this game, right? If we go toe-to-toe, it was going to be a Cruz Azul game. Even though Chivas isn't necessarily shooting like crazy, right? They did have that game against Juarez, but you kind of look at them and they need a 9, and they'll have a 9 in their roster, right? They don't have someone that's going to just shoot, you know, and even though their youngster, to me, is a very promising player, there's sometimes fans get confused with promise and guarantee, right? Mm-hmm. The future might be bright, but doesn't mean his present is, right? So for me, I viewed it like that. I said, there needs to be something that we try is just going to work for this game. And you and I kind of went back and forth about the formation, right? Because it put Aguirre out there. It was two strikers, right? And we said it's not a diamond. They had Fidalgo on the wing. Well, they didn't either. What did Jardine do? They did a 5-3-2. And even though it kind of took away from Javairo, right? Mm-hmm. It was a perfect game because now you have three center backs. You defended how you needed to. And you get a go off a set piece, you know? If that set piece doesn't happen, we go away with a 0-0 game. And like you said, we would have been here kind of tearing the team apart. But at the same time, you got to understand, you know, this team was lacking depth. This team was lacking momentum, was lacking a lot of things. So how do you win a game? How do you get the momentum when you don't have key players, when you have injuries, when you don't necessarily trust your defense, right? Jardine doesn't really have trust in Ramon Juarez right now. And the fan base doesn't have trust in Nestor Araujo, right? So what do? You kind of have to go out there, put a formation that's just going to cover everything. And Martin has been kind of in a drought right now. So what do? You stick him with another nine, right? Someone that could pull the market. And even though neither of them got the goal, the idea was pretty much that. Like, you know what? We're going to have one that's going to just be all over the place. He's going to roam. And another one's going to just stick solely as a nine, right? The midfield, you have your midfielders going wide, but because they have all that room, right? So for me, you know, my idea before the preview is how do we win? And it was necessary. It was this, you know, it just too many injuries and not enough depth. There's not enough momentum. You had to do something. And this was a perfect way to pull it off.
I think you're right in the sense of where this game had to be a little bit unorthodox for America to end up winning it, right? And I mean, I'm not one to credit luck because, you know, but sometimes you kind of need it. And this game was one of those perfect examples. I mean, we played with a back five, yet we defended poorly. One of the worst games we've seen defensively speaking. Just, you know, Chivas wasn't on their night. And, you know, thankfully speaking, I mean, look at the goal. They completely messed up right in front of goal. No goalkeeper, nothing whatsoever. Moments like that, it makes you feel like, okay, today should be our night. It's just, how do we secure the victory? And America had chances, don't get me wrong, right? This game could have ended up 2-3-1 if things would have properly gone America's way. Regardless, I think you sit here and analyze it from a perspective of, yes, you can sit here and tear this team apart for playing defensively, playing a poor game defensively, lacking creativity in lapses of the match, just, you know, giving the ball to Chivas and letting them dominate possessions in certain moments of the game. We didn't play America ball, right? It felt very park the bus, chuck it up, see what happens. And it was ugly. Honestly, it was ugly. But at the end of the day, 3 points. We said how important it was to get those 3 points because America needed a catalyst in order to kickstart the season again. And it looked like this game might have just been that. And so at the end of the day, what can I say, right? 3 points, a Clásico, another victory against them spans the years of I don't know how long they haven't been able to beat us in a regular season match. So yeah, important stuff from America. And overall, a good result. Poor performance, but a good result. Sometimes we need these type of games. And it was a perfect example because I think the next game against Atlas, we played better offensively. We played better defensively. We just looked like a much more solid team. And it helps that you're starting to get players back and you can actually play a formation that helps when these players are out there on the pitch. So yeah, it was good. It was good that America ended up getting the victory, 3 points, and I guess that's just kind of it, you know? It was nice to see that there was fans in the stands, though, for that game, Chris.
Yeah, that's the positive thing, right? It's an ugly stadium, I think. I don't really blame fans, right? Because I think if you were to have what you were averaging in the Azteca, you would probably see this stadium more full, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's an ugly stadium, right? It's one of those things where you just have to ask the locals, honestly. I don't know how all that works, where if it's just like regional thing, you know.
I think it's,
you know, it's late at night.
I remember seeing a video posted on Twitter when America was starting to sell kind of like their season tickets. Like, you know, get your Club America membership and, you know, secure your seat and this and that. And someone had posted a video, I think maybe after America played Querétaro or something. I can't remember. But they posted a video of kind of like the conditions of the stadium, right? Things that the camera won't pan to show you when there's an actual game going on. The seats look in terrible conditions. The stadium feels like it's falling apart. It just looks like an old, outdated stadium. And what's the name of that guy? He's a famous
Paco, right? I was about to bring that up. Yeah, the suites are horrible.
Yeah, he was in the suites, right? Like a suite. And I looked at that and I was like, that is not a suite. That looks terrible. You cannot consider that a suite, you know?
And so there's like a high school, high school field with a little room. That's all it really looked like. It was very, very ugly, very bad.
Let's be honest. It's not our home. It's not going to feel home. And it's unfortunate because we won't have our home for another 2 years. So it's going to be a long process. We'll see what next year looks like, of course, with the talks of potentially coming to the States, maybe moving to a different location. But the reality is that it's an ugly stadium. I'm going to be honest with you. Even watching the games, I feel like the stadium cameras are lower quality resolution than what I'm used to watching whenever I'm watching the Azteca matches. So it just sucks. I mean, I don't blame people for not going. The team hasn't been playing all that well either to be like, oh, you know, let's go drop some money and go watch this America game. Now you have no certainty of whether or not you're going to get a good game or even a result at that case. But I do think that as the team progresses, as things get better, people will end up going more to the stadium. I think we just got to give it a little bit more time. And then after that, we'll see what the end result is come November. You know, I think November will be a good time frame to see exactly how this team is and whether or not the fans respond in the stands for that as well. But it's an ugly stadium, to say the least, you know? So it is what it is, unfortunately, in that sense. After that, I think, good result. I don't know what else to kind of mention in regards to kind of the grand scheme of it all and the whole picture of this game. But the important thing was the 3 points. We mentioned it last week on the podcast. And again, to kind of reiterate what you guys had mentioned, if you play ugly or not, regardless, those 3 points at the end of the day is what matters. And so America needed them. America got them. And on to the next, no?
The most important thing, right, is not losing to another rival, right?
Yeah.
And it's also the momentum. It starts a momentum. Now you kind of have an idea of how to play, how to win games, right? Because, I mean, these droughts could drag, man. And I think you and I have highlighted this very early on, where it's like, if the standard is first place, you got to start winning, right? And, well, it's not impossible to get first place right now. You basically have to just win out, you know, because you become dependent of other teams, you know, and if you don't want to be dependent, you're going to have to just win. And maybe that's how you reach it. Right. I don't know exactly how many points you end up making if you just win out, but I do think, you know, that's the only way to hit your consistent standards. Mind you, it's Mexico. Liguilla, repechaje. It's not England, right? Where you're watching a match day in December, I don't know what or November, whatever, right? And now you're losing these games, and you just say, "Well, Now we have to chase Champions League because we're not going to catch up to Man City, right? Over here, it's more of like, you're not necessarily chasing anybody. You're trying to be in the top eight, right? And then from there, you're good. Right now, all that matters is the momentum, is the form. It's winning these games. Mind you, we have an important game next week, and then we're going to cover this next week, but against Columbus Crew. And I said it, you know, and I'm sticking to my word. I didn't really care about League's Cup, but this game against Columbus Crew is more of a bragging rights, more of a label type match, right? Where it's like you win this and you're getting the title of the best in the region, right? Because while you might not win CONCACAF Champions Cup, right? You might not win that, which is very important. You at least get to say, I beat the number one team from that league. Now I'm the number one. You know, you get what I'm saying? Like, you're number one overall now, because while there's other regions, you don't necessarily treat them the same way you're going to treat the neighbors, or you're going to treat the next competitive league in the region, right? I think everyone would agree that MLS is number two, whether there's a gap or not a gap, whatever you want to argue. But point is, they're number two. There's no other league in CONCACAF close to them. You know, just like you may argue that they're not close to us, but there's, but we beat Columbus, you know, that's a whole different topic that we're going to have in comparison to what we were having with League's Cup. So winning this game, winning the next game, and winning this Saturday is very important, because now we have three wins in a row, momentum, you know, healthier team than we had in the beginning. You know, like I said, the winning, beating Chivas, winning is just it's a mentality thing. Because if you go and lose that game, we're pressing all the panic buttons. You know, it's not just you lose against your rival. You had to win that, and you had to win it however, and you won it, and then the results, all that matters, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in a grand picture, that was absolutely ideal. Because in all honesty, if America wins that game, we get the 3 points. But what mattered the most was, like you mentioned, that momentum. Because America before the game against Chivas was in 12th place. America after beating Chivas was still in 12th place. So it's not like a lot changed in the table. But systematically speaking, and for the fact that, you know, it's a clásico, the added bonus of the confidence that it gives the players, especially when you're not playing your best football, to be able to walk away from the biggest match of your regular season, walk away with the 3 points, it's huge, absolutely huge. Especially after you got battered against Cruz Azul 2 weeks ago in that same stadium, to be able to walk out and be like, okay, you know, it was huge. It was great. It was a great ordeal. And you saw that reflected in the game against Atlas, right? And I think it's a perfect segue into moving into this Atlas game. Because coming into this one, I think all of us, even though we didn't talk about this on the podcast, I think all of us felt a little bit more comfortable against Atlas, because we knew that we had a victory under our belt, and we knew that we were going to be getting players back as well. And so that was all kind of just an added plus. And we saw a much, much better game from America, like I mentioned already, offensively, defensively. It was, I dare to say, probably the best well-rounded matchup that America has displayed. And they didn't even use all their starters. Hadn't they benched Henry? Hadn't they benched Jonah? Hadn't they benched, obviously, we weren't able to play Sendejas because he was really back. But, you know, we benched a good amount of players, and we still played fantastic. We still look great. So that tells you that the internal competition is going to be wonderful this year round, which is going to bring the best out in players. You just know that after that golazo that Aguirre scored against Atlas, Henry's feeling the pressure. So he's going to have to deliver. If he plays against Necaxa or if he plays against Columbus, you just know that he's going to have that chip on his shoulder. Dávila coming in, scoring and making his debut, you know that that's going to give him an added bonus of confidence. And also, he's playing in Diego Valdez's position, which I'm sure Diego Valdez is not too happy about, you know, in a competitive perspective, knowing that he's going to have now competition that he can play in, because all of us assumed that Dávila was going to just slot into Brian Rodriguez's spot, But if Brian Rodriguez can continue to do what he did against Atlas consistently, then I don't think any of us have an issue with him playing the left wing and Davila potentially playing in the cam spot for Diego Valdez. So a lot of good coming out of this Atlas game. Coming into it, of course, all of us a little bit more calm in the presence of knowing that, okay, America has an important game, but it was still a crucial must-win matchup, Chris, because if America doesn't walk away with 3 points, we're sitting here and we're talking about, well, what good is beating Chivas if you can't follow it up with another victory against Atlas?
Yeah, and that's what I go back to, the whole momentum and mentality thing, right? Because we do lose against Chivas. How do you go into this Atlas game where your morale just completely drained, you know, because you go and lose a game against your biggest rival? The media is going to be completely eating you up, right? So you win, you kind of get that pressure off of you. And against an Atlas team who is doing probably similar as us, right, on the table. It's not necessarily a bad team, but not a great team. And you, like I said, you know, one thing I don't like that America did in this game, and maybe you agree with me, is that they always look for the fancy goal. And I feel like we need to just start shooting, you know, start looking for that kill early instead of playing around. But other than that, you know, this Atlas game is kind of what we want out of this America team, right? What we've seen out of this America team. And that's what you need off that Clásico win. Mind you, the Fecha FIFA also helped us, right? Kind of get back into a rhythm. You and I talked about it. That's why I wasn't necessarily as stressed, because I kept on arguing. I don't think the team is playing bad, but it's not like it's a consistently great team either, right? It's kind of like they're playing good, they're dominant, and then all of a sudden they're just lost, right? They're not themselves. And I think, you know, this Chivas game, while, like you said, we weren't playing great, we kind of looked for the result, not like, I think if they would have tied that game 0-0, I do think they would have probably came out kind of satisfied, which sucks for us, but I do think the mindset was kind of like, you know what, we're not mentally here. You know, you get a result that kind of gets you back into to level ground, and now you're starting to see this team just continue to go up. And hopefully they do the same thing as Necaxa, because I think Necaxa is a young team, and we're gonna see a team that's gonna try to get the upset against us. America and Jardinet just have to be in their A game. You know, like I said, it is all going up, and the most important game of the season, arguably, is gonna be next week too, right? So, you know, hopefully it continues.
I think America has dug a hole, have dug themselves into a hole where they've created this. This necessity of these next couple matches being kind of defining moments in the season. Like, it starts off with Chivas, right? It's a must-win game. Then it goes on to Atlas. It's still a must-win game. Now we're talking about Necaxa. It's still a must-win game. And now you're talking even then midweek against Columbus Crew, which is definitely a must-win game. And then you can't even rest after that because you have Pumas, another Clásico, another must-win game. So it's at a point in where America season where the pressure really is going to start just building up. But in these next couple of matches, we're going to learn and we're going to find out whether this America team breaks or bends. And we'll see which one is going to be which. I'm hoping that it's the latter, because that means that America is going to be good for the remainder of the season. And America's in no position to lose points either. So, you know, you need to be consistent and you need to get results, right? And you need to start playing much better football. Because at this point, you should have already defined a system. Now you're kind of getting there. And that just only means that once you get to the Liguilla, hopefully you're one of the few teams that are coming into it with a lot of form, right? With a lot of momentum. And that's going to be important. So, yeah, very important matches and very important games. And this game against Atlas was another one of those in where we see, you know, good performances mostly all around the pitch. Chris Ramirez asking, what do we think of Miguel Vázquez over Néstor Araujo? He's saying, I'm kind of liking the idea. I like the kid. I don't know necessarily whether or not he's ready to just slot in for Nestor and start featuring in games. Coming off the
bench, I wasn't a fan of this. It was Atlético Nacional game. I wasn't a fan of his Atlético. I like his game against Atlas, but Atlético Nacional.
Yeah, good performance against Atlas. I think it's just a kid that's going to need a little bit more time with the first team, seeing regular minutes off the bench, and we'll see what happens. You know, he could be kind of, I guess it's a weird way of putting it, the next Ramon Juarez in a sense.
Yeah. And he's going to get the minute because of the whole, I mean, I kind of highlighted in our group chat, right? I was like, he's the only youngster out there. We need minutes for the youngster rule. And he's the only one out there. It says a lot, right? Because you would assume that it would be Dagoberto, the one getting the prioritized minutes, right? But they put him in and he looked good. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you like, oh, no, I'll never play him again because, you know, no, play him. I mean, he looked bad against Atlético Nacional from a reaction standpoint, but he looked good against Atlas. And, you know, I guess it's one of those things where you kind of have to just judge it from pros and cons, right? And he's going to, he could only get better. If he has the right mindset, he can only get better. And I'm not against it, but maybe not right now. Not throw him in the fire, because we've seen players get thrown into the fire just because, and they completely fall apart, and you don't want to ruin his mindset that early, right? I think in all sports, you want to just take it slow with the younger players and let them find their own ground. And once they find that ground, they're going to just be competing, you know? But other than that, you know, I understand why you like the idea, because the fan base is going to hate Nestor Araujo, but I think the conversation should be Ramon Juarez ahead of him once Cáceres returns.
Absolutely. I hope that that is the case, because I don't think I can survive a whole season with Nestor Araujo at center back. I think I lose my mind. You know, which he didn't have the worst game against Chivas nor Atlas. He's just so liable to making a mistake that I just feel like it's playing a risky game when you can just play it safe, you know? But for now, it's the only players that we have available, and it's going to be Nestor Araujo season for just a little bit longer until Cáceres is back. And then we'll see. But yeah, we'll see. Miguel Vázquez, good player. I think he's going to come through the ranks. Here's a question for you, Chris. Do you think he's going to be better than Rodrigo Íñigo?
I hope so. Well, I mean, I hope so. Now, I have a bigger question for you. Would he ever score a banger like Diego Cervantes did?
Ooh, that's tough, man. Not everyone can have the caliber of the finishing quality the way Diego Cervantes does, you know? So
against River Plate,
yeah,
little throwback.
Out of all teams, right? Against River Plate, yeah. That's crazy. Oh, we complained about our center backs now. Just remember what we had to go through, guys, with Diego Cervantes, Rodrigo Íñigo, Ismael Rodriguez. Just dark times, okay? Dark times. But yeah, to kind of sum up the Atlas game, it was a good performance. I think we saw a really good game from Brian Rodriguez. I think he was Tulane's man of the match. Rightfully so. I think he played a really good game. Showed a lot of versatility, showed a lot of strength on that left-hand side. Got himself a goal too. I think it was just one of those games, and where, again, hopefully he comes out of this with a different mindset of, okay, I got a good start here going. I can continue to do this. I can have consistency, and I can lock in that left wing spot for myself, which I think would be huge. I mean, Rodrigo Aguirre scoring, looking good. I think he's going to be... he's going to be Henry's competition, and I think that's what he came for, right? I think that's what we said when he was announced, that he was going to be the Henry competition. And I think it's only going to bring the best out of not just Rodrigo Aguirre, but also Henry himself. So that's going to look good. And, I mean, overall, is there another player that you can highlight from this that you think, okay, had a good performance and hopefully can continue this good track of form?
I think Chiquito Sanchez probably deserves some flowers too. He's been getting better. He hasn't been the bomba signing that we expected, you know. But at the same time, I think he's been performing, you know. I think he's been creative. I think he's been, you know, getting his rhythm going. And I think that's what we all want, you know. I can sit here and complain how much I don't like the player, but it's not like I'm not open to being proven wrong, right? There's a lot of players in history of all my sports team who I'm just like complaining, say, I don't like this player. And then he goes out and becomes an amazing player. Once upon a time, this fan base hated the Sambuesa signing. And I'm sure you remember that when we signed Jovi Bermudez and we're all hyped about him because of his time in Atlante. And then then everyone's complaining because we paid more for Sambuesa, who was a flop in the league. And look what happened, you know. So, like I said, you know, I'm not against him proving me wrong. I just hope he proves me wrong, right? Because at the end of the day, I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for my team. I'm not a hater in the sense. But, you know, I'm happy to see these last two games. He has been getting better, and hopefully it continues, because I do think, you know, the long-term idea is for him to end up being a starter, right? And it's good for him also that he's kind of getting that rotational role right now, because I think if he's not there yet, the worst thing you could do is rush him out there, right?
Yeah, I think there was always going to be a little bit of an adaptation period for Chiquito, because we all expected him to be kind of the natural replacement for Fidalgo. Fidalgo doesn't leave. So now you're begging the question, how do you fit Chiquito Sanchez with Diego Valdez, with Fidalgo, with Jonah? Like, how does that midfield work? One of them is going to have to sit out. Who sits out? Do you sacrifice the defensive capabilities of Jonah to, you know, accommodate Chiquito Sanchez coming into this team? Do you just bench Chiquito for a little bit and wait to see what this Fidalgo situation turns out to be? So there's a lot of if, buts, and maybes. So I think it's just naturally playing out, and we'll see kind of how this unfolds. Because he played two roles in this game against Atlas. One, he plays the kind of the creative role with the center attacking mid, taking Diego Valdez's spot in the first half. Second half, Fidalgo gets subbed off, and so he naturally then slots into Fidalgo's role in that more of a number eight position. So you see him play, you know, these two roles, does a good job against Atlas. And you just see, you know, he's the type of player that I feel like feeds off the rest. And so if things are going well for everybody else, he grows into the game just as much. So I think it's going to be one of those things in where if you continuously see a good America side, you're going to see a much better improvement from Chiquito Sanchez. And hopefully, as the years go down, he will then transition into one of those kind of leaders in that midfield. And so he can then start dictating the play and the tempo and such. So it'll be interesting to see how he does grow into this. But so far, yeah, you're right. He deserves his flowers. He's starting to look like a much, much better player. So, but overall, I mean, you know, a good performance, 3-0. And it was always a tough ask because it was such a quick turnaround, because America only had, 2 days of, I guess, quote unquote, rest. Not really, because you still have to go and train and everything. The good thing is America didn't have to travel, so that was an added bonus. But yeah, a quick turnaround. You get 3 points, and then you kind of shift focus a little bit, get a breather, and now you focus on Necaxa, which again is going to be a tricky game, but definitely a game that America can win. Is there anything else you want to mention in regards to this Atlas game, or do you think we've kind of talked on the main bullet points here?
No, I think we covered everything. I think maybe just the plus that we got to see Sendejas and Kevin and Davila debut, right? And
the debut of
Davila, the other two returning. We lose out.
Yeah. No, yeah, the debut of Davila was good. We'll talk a little bit more about Davila right now, because I kind of want to get your impressions on Club America's transfer market, because, you know, he does get signed literally on the 11th hour, kind of how we spoke about on the podcast. But overall, you know, you mentioned it. The only downside to this, of course, is the injury to Israel Reyes, which is unfortunate. He'll be out for maybe three weeks max, we want to say. Which is a heavy blow, but it's a perfect opportunity for Kevin Alvarez, who's looking to return and cement himself into the starting position. and an opportunity for a youngster like what's his name? I always get it wrong. Dagoberto.
Dagoberto.
Okay. Yes, for Dagoberto to come in and you know, come out of the ranks and maybe cement himself into that position as well. We know that he's, you know, versatile in that sense, can play the right back, can play the right mid minutes at the end of the day for America to bolster the youngster rule. So we'll see. It's unfortunate, but overall, I think the positives outweigh the negatives. And there was a lot of positives in this game against Atlas. And so I think we'll walk away with that and you know, wish Israel Reyes a speedy recovery, because he will be missed and he's definitely needed out there. And so we'll see what the future holds for America. But yeah, that's the only unfortunate part. So before we transition on into the preview against Necaxa, I think it's only fair that we recap a little bit of this transfer window for Club America, Chris. It was the talking point of every single podcast show we had for about a month and a half. And nothing happened until the final minutes of the transfer window closing. We were joking around saying that it was going to be coming down to the last minute, the 11th hour. And it, you know, it transitioned into being that. Maybe it was not, because maybe they could have had this thing kind of signed, sealed, and delivered a while back. I'm not too sure. But obviously, Victor Davila is a name that we kind of had announced on the podcast last week that America was going to sign. It comes to fruition. How do you feel? How do you rank not just that individual signing, but a Club America's transfer window as a whole? Do you think that this signing, especially in the way that he debuts, kind of saves face a little bit to the front office and maybe gives them a little bit more credibility? Or do you still think that this was a failure of a transfer window if we go to the extremes?
Me personally, I won't go to the extremes, because I kind of understand to an extent, right? I think they prioritize midfield way too much. So let's break down everybody that came in, right? Because I think if you do it as a whole, it's a win in the sense that you bring in a left wing that's could play multiple positions, right?
Yeah.
Is very centered in the way he plays on the wing, which is what Jardine wants, right? You kind of get a similar style player to Quiñones in the sense he's not a natural winger. He's not playing wide. He's playing centered. He's cutting in. But he's a playmaker. He's not a goal scorer, right? I think you might start to see it. People get frustrated because he's not a goal scorer. He's got a beautiful goal outside the box, but it's not necessarily his thing to go and look for the goal, right? Not saying he can't score goals, but it's not his thing. While Quiñones was. So in that sense, I look at it as a really good plug-in player for Quiñones, right? Mind you, I don't think he's a... How do I say it? He's going to strictly play there, because you and I have spoken about this before. Henry and Valdez are very injury-prone. They're going to miss games, right? We're seeing him with Valdez right now. And this is a guy that you could plug in at the 10, and is going to be very comfortable at the 10. So to me, in that's a plus. Chiquito, not a necessary player, but at the same time, if you're going from the idea that Fidalgo was going to leave, another plus, right? I don't love the signing because I don't rate the player that high, but it is a signing that you kind of understand where it's going with. And I think it's also a player that, you know, off the bench is probably going to do good things, right? Depending where you put him and everything, yes, it might be a hit and run or a hit and a miss at times, but at the same time, you have to look at it from the ideal perspective of the front office. And I think that Alan Cervantes and Jefecito, I didn't love, but that's because I think Naveda wasn't necessarily doing bad for him to leave, right? I know you were very critical of him last year, but at the same time, I think you would have probably been like, you know, if you're going to bring in these guys, you know, rather just stick with Naveda, someone that understands the game, who isn't doing great, but he's not doing bad either. And, you know, Igor re-signing him or signing him officially, I mean, ideal, you know, I don't know his contract detail, but at the same time, you know, he came in, was plugged in, did great. He's injured right now, and Maybe we'll have a different tone afterwards, you know, because he might not come back the same. But at the same time, you know, he was a very key player to winning all these championships. So ideally, you had to bring him back. He's also a locker room guy, you know. I think, you know, vibes matter and he brings a lot of that. So other than that, I'd probably give it a B to B plus. I don't think it was perfect, but I do think they were necessary signings in the day. And Davila, like I said, Davila was a negotiated player early on, right? And the whole Russian thing made it complicated, right? It's a loan with obligation to sign afterwards, which basically is like, you know, to get into detail, the negotiation, it basically is you're buying him and you have a year to figure out how to pay me because of the whole bank issue. That's all it really is, you know. Other than that, he's our player.
Yeah, because Davila comes in with a loan with an obligation to buy if he meets certain quotas, which I'm sure it's not a lot. It's probably like certain minutes, probably like score a goal, which he already did. So he's already halfway there. I'm sure he's going to meet those quotas. I'm sure they're not outrageous. And I think America expects him to reach those quotas, because if not, then why are you wasting money on this guy, right? So it's interesting that you give it a B to B plus. That's high. I would love to hear Dylan's critique on the transfer window and what grade he gives him. If you mind texting him, text him just randomly right now what grade he would give America's transfer window right now. And in the meantime, while I explain what I feel, to see if maybe he gives us a response. But I think when you name the players out, I do think that it gives it a much better look than what it actually is at the end of the day. And when you look at the negotiation strategies behind every player, I do think that there is some credibility that you do have to give to the front office, right? I think the signings of Alan Cervantes and Jefecito Rodriguez, whilst maybe not to the liking of a lot of us, were probably not expensive signings whatsoever that America had to make, right? And salary-wise, I don't think that they're going to be that crazy either. So they're depth players at the end of the day, and I think they got them for a price that they thought, okay, this is reasonable. And you get quality depth in that sense. Borja, a player that was coming in from Europe on a free. That's huge, right? Performances may have not been that great so far, but not to say that he's looking terrible either. So I do think that he'll grow into it. And if he does become all of our solutions in the left back position, then you got him on a free. That's huge. That's great. That's great business. The Chiquito Sanchez one, like you mentioned, in the realm of what he is looked at in Liga MX, you bring him in, you know, you kind of plaster him as your one of your marquee signings. He's Mexican, a national team player. Again, another one of those things that looks good. And then of course, you know, the re-signing of Igor Lichnowsky, which again a fan favorite amongst most. You mentioned a locker room guy. You look at especially right now that he's injured. You look at his videos that he's posting, pictures. He's just a bro. He's just there. He's having a good time. Even though he's injured, he's going to the games. He's having a good time. He's having a good laugh. He's there in the training grounds. And you know, he's still interacting with the players. Again, another sensible signing in the sense, like you mentioned, that if anyone earned a contract with America, it was him. From the moment he stepped on the pitch against Chivas in a matchup where we dominated, and he looked like he never missed a beat in that center-back partnership with Ramon Juarez. So yes, in all of that grand scheme of things, if you list it player by player and you give reasons as to why and the strategies, I can see why we can allude to a higher rating in the transfer window. But personally, for me speaking, I think that this gets maybe a C to C minus, because it was just handled so poorly in the fine details of how you're supposed to do this transfer window. I get it, things happen, and I'm sure that there's things behind closed doors that we will never know or we may not understand as to negotiations falling down for XYZ player, not just for players that we wanted to bring in, but probably players that we wanted to offload. right? I'm sure maybe there was an offer for Richard. Maybe there was an offer for Brian. Maybe there was an offer. Well, we know that there was offers for Fidalgo. But, you know, for one reason or another, things fall off. It changes courses. It changes plans. I just don't like that, again, we're waiting last minute to bring in a player that we could have brought in May, you know? And so, well, not May specifically, maybe June, excuse me. Could have brought in June/July, and he could have been much more adept at this point. And so I just think that it was a poor transfer window from that perspective. This winter will be interesting. We didn't spend the Quiñones money, or at least, you know, it doesn't look like we spent it on players. Maybe we spent it elsewhere. But I don't know. For me, personally speaking, if I'm being honest and just kind of seeing the way that things progress, I'm going C-minus. I feel like America should have done better, you know? And I don't know. I think we fumbled the bag a little bit here and there throughout the transfer window, you know? And good thing it was an extensive transfer window.
Well, brother, you should be happy because Dylan said the same thing. He said C. I texted him. I ain't hit him up in the group chat. He said C.
Perfect.
I get it. If you're getting into the detail of the negotiations and how long it took and what they prioritized, then I agree. You kind of have to lower it down. I'm more focused on the player profile, you know?
Yeah.
I look at Aguirre, who is coming in, having impact, right? Putting in pressure on the ninth spot. Mind you, like, I'm just taking things into consideration. Like, Henry Martinez is going to have down games. He's going to have injuries. He's going to have these things. There's going to be times we have to put in another nine. And we all complain about Ilian Hernandez, and we all complain about Mohsen Vito. We all complain about all these academy players. We all complain, you know. I mean, we sat here and we talked about nines, right? And I started naming a bunch of Mexican nines, and even to the point where we talked about Raul Jimenez and players and people in the chat were saying, no, he's washed, his injury, this and that. Okay, like, we're talking about the very top, right? And trust me, a lot of the fan people didn't even like Santi Jimenez either. That was a realistic option, right? So When you're talking about Mexican nines, that was a conversation we were going to have. So you go in and take a gamble on a guy that performed in Necaxa, right? And did bad in Monterrey because they put him in the wing. You put in a guy to be a backup nine for these moments, and he's performing. And maybe it would have been different if a different conversation, and you and I had a talk about all this when, if all these signings happened before the season started, right? Maybe we'd have a different conversation about the players, right?
Yeah,
but the way I look at it is kind of what they bring to the table, why they're being brought to, you know, the fit. And to me, maybe Alan Cervantes isn't necessarily a great fit, but it's a lateral move, in my opinion, to Naveda. Jefecito, I don't understand to this day. The third keeper, I don't understand to this day. Everyone else, I understand, and I think I see the fit. You know, like I said, I don't necessarily rate Chiquito Sanchez, but I understand the fit and what they want. And you know, we could sit here and talk about players that left the Quiñones deal, right? I think that boosts up the rating as well, because you lose them, you know, it's a big important player, but hey, 16 million, you know, like, or how much? 16, right? 16 million. Yeah, 16. You're making a lot of money off of that. Now, we can sit here and go back and forth. Like, well, they didn't do anything with it. Well, who says it's for this year? You know, it could be for next summer. It could be for whatever reason, right? Like, mind you, there is the idea that certain players are going to leave. So maybe there's a bomba out there that they're kind of flirting with, kind of saying, you know, like LAFC with Griezmann, they're having that flirting conversation with the mindset of next summer. You know, maybe we're doing similar over here with someone with the mindset of, oh, they're going to leave Europe. We know a player that's going to leave, and we're going to go and plug him in right there because he's the perfect player. I don't know that, right? Like you said, there's conversations that we don't know that they're having. So I can only talk about the profile of what they're doing with these players and, you know, the sales and all that. And I think it's good. You know, you also loan out players that are young that I don't know if they return, but mind you, you know, Emilio Lara had a good game yesterday. Naveda has had consistent playing time with Santos. So maybe, you know, maybe you get something out of that. They come back and they're more of an experienced players. We see it with Ramon Juarez right now. He had to go and be loaned out to come back and become a starter. So, like I said, we could do this many ways. For me, I still kind of stick to a B. Maybe not B plus, maybe it is a B minus, but it is still a B-ish because I didn't just, like if they went in and brought in a random player just to have a random player, I would probably be more turned off to the idea. Right? I think Davila comes in, fits the profile, and you know, only time will tell, right? We're going to come back end of the season and kind of have this conversation and say, well, that was a bad signing, this and, you know, but until then, you know, you could only really judge on paper.
Yeah, and you mentioned it perfectly. I think all of this is prejudgment to what the end of the season is going to look like. And then after that, we could sit down, have that conversation, and kind of actually assess how these players did in the Apertura. And so I think just now, kind of reactively speaking, I still stick to mine. You made a great argument, though, in saying, you know, the players that come in, kind of the negotiations and the ideas behind everything. I think there's an argument to be made on both sides. At the end of the day, you know, we have what we have, and I think we just have to kind of focus on that and expect that the results will be followed by these signings. And so hopefully, things pan out in that sense. But yeah, an interesting transfer window, to say the least, for Las Águilas del América. And the winter one, hopefully, is a little bit smoother in that sense. But we'll see what happens. Still a lot from here to then, even though it feels like it's just months away. But there's so much chaos to still go through before then. But yeah, that is Club America's transfer window officially done for the summer. And I guess rumors will start picking up sometime in like November/December. Unless Saúl Chapoy wants to come out of retirement and start, you know, throwing names out there, then we probably won't get anything until then. All right, Chris, let's move on to this next must-win game, América versus Necaxa, or as I should say, Necaxa versus América. América flies out to Aguascalientes to face off against a decently well Necaxa for their season so far. I think they stand higher in the table from us, if I'm not mistaken. They do not, but they're right beneath us. So it's kind of a six-pointer in that sense. They got 11 points. We got 12. But a victory here and with a couple results going our way, América could see themselves in about maybe fifth, sixth, or seventh place come the end of the jornada. We'll see what happens. But yeah, go for it, Chris.
So one signing we didn't talk about was the Spanish center back that we brought in. I don't even want to touch on that. Maybe it's very irrelevant, but I do think it's nice that I think we need to do more of these signings, right? With the idea of bringing foreigners to develop with the high ceiling, you know?
Yeah.
And so, just have them, you know?
And Chris, do you know the guy's name?
Hugo Buyol. Buyol, I think.
Hugo Buyol. So Chris is talking about a 19-year-old center back from Spain that América has signed. And so he's going to be playing with
the Fuerza Bula, Básica. Bula, my bad. Bula.
Sorry. Bula. He's going to be playing with the Fuerzas Básicas until he develops, and he probably can probably play take a spot with the first team. I do think it feels very Real Madrid in that sense, right? A lot of people were saying that on Twitter. But yeah, it's a good investment for the future. I don't think he was too expensive. And yeah, I like the vision, right? And then I do agree with you that America needs to be more well-prepared for the future in that sense. And if you could start kind of learning from teams like Real Madrid, who signed these youngsters at an early age, develop them, maybe loan them out, and then, you know, once they're kind of primed to feature with the first team, then you give them the opportunity. So yeah, I like the signing. Absolutely. I like the signing in that sense. But since it's not actually kind of tied with the first team right now, that's why I kind of didn't really pay much attention to it right now when we were talking about the transfer window.
Yeah, I just bring him up because I think people are going to be like, well, why don't you bring him up? To me, I like the idea of this. I mean, Saga's dad was this type of signing, right? We brought him from Brazil super young, but we loaned him out and all that. Me, you know, if the idea is eventually get him into the first team, mind you, he's going to be a foreigner for the rest of his career in Mexico, right? It's not like it's not going to be a situation where, oh, he played in the academy, he's going to become something like developed in Mexico. But I do think, you know, if the mindset is, you know, develop him, he debuted with in Atalanta in Italy, from what I read or from what I seen from Instagram. He debuted with the first team. So if he's good enough to debut over there, maybe he's good enough to end up debuting over here, and hopefully, you know, we'll wish him the best. It's a very, very good gamble, in my opinion, because if it plans out, a player like that could end up costing a lot of money, you know, and you could sell him to a European team and make a lot of money. And mind you, not forget the negotiation, he could end up being a very great player for us in a defense that probably does need fresher legs, you know, because outside of Igor and then Cassid is not old, but I know, you know, he's going to end up leaving soon. And then Nestor Araujo should be leaving real soon. You know, there's a lot of inexperience. So, you know, it never hurt.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I agree. I think it's an added welcome. And we'll keep an eye on him and see how he develops. And when he debuts with America, which maybe will be sooner than we all anticipate, we'll have to wait and see. So I'm sure we'll see him feature. Who knows, maybe even this Clásico Nacional that they're going to have in Houston. Maybe he'll get some minutes there. You know, be an interesting player to watch in these type of friendlies. So, yeah, we'll keep a close eye on him, and we'll see how that pans out for América in the future. But, okay, jumping back to Necaxa, as I alluded to, must-win game. Chris, how do you feel coming into this one? And from an América perspective, obviously you're on a high. You just beat Chivas, you just beat Atlas, you played a wonderful game. You kind of get the feeling of we're back, finally. But I would throw caution to the wind and say that, you know, you still have to take this game against Necaxa very seriously, and you can't walk into that stadium thinking that, oh, I'm the reigning B campeón, I'm playing good football again, this game should be a walk in the park.
My biggest fear going into Aguascalientes is injuries. I think the team has the mindset right now to perform, which is the most important thing, right? Perform. And I don't necessarily mean play good. I mean score goals and win this game. We talked about it. The defense doesn't necessarily bring any, they don't give us the best confidence, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, you have a lot of players that played in Necaxa. So, you know, they're going to feel that they know, right? Sendejas might get a minute. Aguirre, Davila, Malagón. I'm probably missing someone. But point is, you have players that have played in the stadium, you know the stadium. So for me, I kind of look at them and say, okay, you're kind of playing home. An old home, for, you know, a field that you're going to know and everything. So for me, I feel confident, but I am scared of the injuries because this is a stadium or a field that could be very shaky, could be very dry, you know, very bad field. That's the only thing I'm scared of. I think America needs to continue this momentum. And if they continue this momentum, we're going to be very, not necessarily fully confident, but some confidence speaking on that Wednesday game against the Columbus, which is the most important thing right now. Yes, we're trying to gather points. But the most important thing is getting that momentum into that game, because we win that game and we're talking a whole 360, right, to where we were and where we're heading. And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. I agree with you. The most important match is next Wednesday's matchup against Columbus. But I do think that, you know, this Necaxa game needs to be taken with just that much importance as well. Not to say that, you know, this game makes or breaks your season in that sense, but it is a matchup in where you're expected to come out to win, and 3 points, like I mentioned, are needed. It's a must-win matchup in that sense. I do think I agree with you in that sense that the players know that they have to come out and they have to perform, and that they can't expect the jersey to do all the work for them. And then they have to continue to shine and perform. And there's going to be players that you know, are going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Your Brian Rodriguez's, your Ramon Juarez's, you know, players like that that need to continue to perform in order to cement their starting position. Achijito Sanchez that will probably want to continue to improve. So it'll be interesting to see how these players come out and what that first half rhythm looks like. I think you just have to go from the get-go, dominate this game, play it to your liking, to your standards, and I think the goals will come if you go out there and perform with good confidence. And so we'll see what Jardine throws at us, you know, starting 11-wise and tactic-wise, but it will be an interesting matchup nonetheless. I'm not necessarily going to give a predicting starting 11 here, but I do want to ask one question to you, Chris, is, does Davila start this game or not?
I think there's a good chance we see him at the 10. I think, you know, it depends on the formation, right? Do you run it back with a 5-3-2 because of the loss of Israel Reyes? How confident are you in trusting Kevin Alvarez to start or Dagoberto, right?
Yeah.
I've seen reports saying Kevin Alvarez is the ideal player for these next games while Israel Reyes is out. But how true is that, right? I mean, we haven't gotten the report on what they practice with, but I do think that there's a good chance Davila starts, because maybe the mindset is, Brian, you've been playing too much and you're my starter for this weekday game against Columbus, right? Do I expect a heavy rotated starting 11? Not heavy, but I do expect you didn't see Henry Martin start against Atlas, right? And there's a reason for that, because you're probably looking at him like, okay, you played way too much. You're not performing to what we kind of want. Maybe it could be because of that, we're going to give you rest. Maybe they rest him again against Necaxa, right? It could be one of those things. Javairo, a player that probably is the momentum, he probably starts. You don't see a Sendejas out there, you know. So maybe you see a Chicote Calderon out there instead of Cristian Borja, because of that other player that I was thinking of. He played in Necaxa too.
Yeah.
All right. So the point is, he would probably start this game too. So maybe not a heavy rotated game team, but I do think you're gonna probably see some positions be played by other people.
Absolutely. I agree that there is going to be some rotation. And I wouldn't be surprised, like you mentioned too, the whole Henry situation. You want him fresh, you want him hungry, and, you know, sitting back-to-back games in the bench for Aguirre, I think would definitely boil him up to have a big game against Columbus. You know, plus you're still going to give him minutes against Necaxa, obviously, to keep him as much fresh as you can. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, it can go one way or the other with these players, but at the end of the day, whoever goes out there needs to perform and needs to showcase. And look, it's these type of games where if you're a bench player and you want to be a starter, it's the moments to shine. Like Rodrigo Aguirre is the perfect example right now. It's, you know, it's a player that's coming in, doing things right. And against Atlas, he got himself a goal. He looked well. So I think that, you know, hopefully a couple of these players appreciate the chances that they're given and, you know, can give Jardine a little bit of a headache when it comes down to who am I going to play on Wednesday in such a huge matchup against such a good opponent like Columbus. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, Necaxa should be an interesting one. That game is going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. Game will be live via TUDN, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just double check. I'm here saying TUDN. It's going to be on VIX or something. And my app is not telling me what channel it's going to be on. So most likely it's going to be on TUDN.
Univision, TUDN, VIX Premium, Deportes 2, Univision Now, VIX, and VIX. So it's going to be all over the place.
It's going to be all over the place. You're going to be able to find it. And
they just missed Galavision, bro.
Yeah, that's the only one.
They just missed Galavision.
So if you got any of those 48 channels, you should be fine. If not, just keep up to date minute by minute with us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América, not just this game against Atlas. I mean, not just this game against Necaxa, but we have everything in regards to these upcoming matches against, obviously, Columbus and everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. We try to keep you up to date with everything in that aspect. But yeah, it should be an interesting game. Should be a fun one to watch over the weekend. In preparation to the big one on Wednesday against Columbus. Predictions time before we wrap it up here, Chris. What is your prediction for the upcoming match against Necaxa? What are you going with?
I'm going with the 2-0. I'm going with 2-0.
I like it. I love it. Another clean sheet. I would love 3 clean sheets in a row. In 1 week? Oof. Love that. Absolutely would love it. Inject it into me right now. I feel like another boring 1-0 should do it for America. Again, I probably will be mad throughout the entirety of the game, and I'll let you guys know my frustration as to why this team is terrible and they're not good enough and why they're not playing good enough. But once that anger settles, I'll look at the bigger picture and say, you know what? 3 points. That's what matters. And we'll move on into the big game against Columbus. Club America es mi pasión with his prediction saying it's either going to be a 2-0 or a 3-0 for America. So another prediction where there's a clean sheet. And me, you guys know, I love clean sheets. So love that. Absolutely. Be a good weekend too for Americanismo, right? You're coming off another great victory with a couple of goals. So would not complain whatsoever in that aspect. But yeah, should be an interesting one. Should be a fun one. Chris Marie is saying 2-1 America and Emilio Lara scores. And he probably scores for us. He probably scores an own goal or something.
Oh my. How hilarious would that be?
Yeah, it'd be super funny. But it feels like, I don't know. It just feels like an Emilio Lara type of thing. So should be a fun one, an interesting one, like I mentioned. With that said, though, I think that pretty much wraps it up, unless you have anything else to mention.
No, I think we talked about everything. Let's get this 3 points, man. There'll be 9 in a week. And like you said, that could get us all the way to 5th place, which is probably not going to happen, but still, it gets us very close to what we want. And,
crazier
things. Like I said, it doesn't matter how you start, it's about how you end, right? So
absolutely. Like I said, crazier things have happened. Imagine sitting in 1 week ago in 12th place and to this Saturday, imagine ending up in 5th place. I mean, crazy, right? Crazy, crazy. So again, important games, important must-win matches. We're in that stretch of the season where America has dug themselves into a hole where you really can't drop points in the sense. Obviously, you have this important matchup coming up against Columbus. Again, we'll see what happens. Talking about that Columbus matchup, there is one thing I want to mention, because I do see a question here from the chat. Christian Maria is saying, any truth to the rumor that this game is going to decide the next Club World Cup spot? Chris, unfortunately, no. There's been no actual confirmation to this game kind of being the deciding factor of the United States kind of finalizing who their host team is going to be for this upcoming Club World Cup. One thing's for sure, though. I mean, there will be a lot on the line, just unfortunately will not be this specifically. But for all of that and much, much more regarding this Campeones Cup, don't miss next week's episode, as we're going to be bringing you guys an in-depth preview of that matchup. We'll talk what this game means, not just for us, but for America, the importance of winning this, another trophy in the cabinet, kind of an in-depth look at Columbus as well. And we're going to get you guys up to date with everything. So make sure you guys do not miss next week's episode. Should be a fun one. Should be an informative one. And at the end of the day, it's another final preview, which we've had in the past couple of months, a couple of these. And so looking forward to another one, Chris.
Yeah, I'm excited. Five championships sounds better than four, man. And we've been spoiled this past year. So hopefully it continues and I'm excited, right? Like I said, my tone might be different. We lose against Necaxa or we have injuries or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, like Ivan likes to say, there's no excuses when it's in this club, right? So when it comes to these finals, there's no excuse. You have to win it. If you have to make it ugly like you did against Chivas, so be it. But, you know, we need to win another championship.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is just the America way. Winning games, winning trophies, being spoiled in that sense. It's just the America way. The way that life was intended to be lived, to be honest, Chris, if I'm being 100% real with you. So yeah, let's hope that this glory campaign continues to roll. And yeah, big game next week and big podcast as well. So make sure you guys tune in next week as well. With that said, though, I'm not going to keep you guys here any longer. I know it's been a long episode in that sense, but we did have a lot to talk to. So it's not like I didn't warn you guys at the beginning of the episode. Thank you to everyone in the chat and to everyone that's been watching. AJ's been in the chat as well. So shout out to AJ. I hope the ladies are doing well. I just checked right now and they were winning, if I'm not mistaken. I just keep seeing a bunch of goal notifications from our Twitter page, Chris. So I'm hoping that
another game we didn't talk about, the women won 7-0 against Chivas, you know.
Absolutely. That's a
great another bragging rights for us.
Yeah, yeah. And then in the chat we have Mr. Guero Glukowski, aka Mr. Brian. He'll be on the podcast next week, so make sure you guys tune in as well. With that said, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk all things Club America. And yeah, man, we'll be here next week.
Yes, sir. I'm ready. I'm ready for all that. And like I said, we might have a different tone if everything's a disaster this weekend, but hopefully not.
Hopefully not. And if not, then probably still have a disastrous tone because we're just depending to see how America does in every department in that sense. Regardless of the way, thank you guys so much. Again, thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to all the viewers. We'll be back again next week to talk all things Club America Campeones Cup edition. And yeah, have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.